Well, good morning, yo. Are we free? Free indeed? Are you free? You know, just 2.5 short weeks ago. Take these out. Can you hear me? I'm going to do that. I might speak up a little better. 2.5 short weeks ago, we celebrated, what, the 4th of July. 4th of July. Fireworks and celebration of freedom, right? The signing of the Declaration of Independence. At birth of our nation. This is a land of freedom, right? It was freedom from being under the rule of Britain. It was freedom to govern ourselves. But are we actually free? We think of ourselves as this is a, you know, a nation of freedoms. But aren't there laws that we have to follow? You know, even in our laws, we are not to steal. We are not to murder. We're not to go over 55 mile an hour. Unless you're on the freeway. Right? If you live in town, you're not supposed to mow your grass after 8 p.m. Too much noise for the neighbors. Too bad for them if they work nights. At least in Wayne County, I'm not sure about here, not supposed to have open fires before 6 p.m. I don't know why that's the magic number, but there are plenty of things that we're not allowed to do, even in this land of freedoms, right? We're free, but we're not free to just do whatever we want, right? With our passage today that was read, John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. John 8, 31 through 36. Says that if you're free, you're free indeed. If the Son sets you free, well, let's see what this freedom is about. Our message today is titled, I Am Your Freedom. I Am Your Freedom. So let's go to John chapter 8. Verses 31 through 36. And Jesus was saying to the Jews, now it says the Jews that believed in him. Jesus was talking to these Jews that had some form of belief in him. And he says, if you continue in my word, you're truly disciples of mine. Now, this isn't just reading the word. The New Testament didn't exist at that point, right? As he's on earth, living and walking and teaching and healing, the New Testament didn't exist. But he says, if you continue in my word, what does that mean? To continue, to walk in his teaching, to believe what he has taught, walking with him. Continue in the word. It's not just to continue reading the word. It's not just to continue thinking about the written word, but it is to listen to his words. It is to listen to what he teaches us. And this is then a disciple who listens and follows that teaching, right? That's the true meaning of discipleship. When we do that, what does that look like? Let's look at the next verse. If you continue in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth will set you free. What does the truth set us free from? What is this freedom that Jesus is talking about? I want us to jump down to verse 34. Because these people that he's talking to, they're like, no, wait a minute, we've never been slaves to anybody. But in 34, verse 34, he says, okay, but listen, truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. So what is Christ setting us free from? Everybody who commits sin is a slave to sin. What Jesus is speaking of here is not the freedom that everyone was looking for. And again, they were looking for freedom from the Roman rule. They were looking for freedom from all other governments. They were looking to have Israel reestablished as a nation and to rule themselves. But he's saying here, the truth is going to set you free. Because until that, we're slaves to sin. This is spiritual freedom he is talking about. And it doesn't mean that we're free to do whatever we want. Again, like we mentioned a little bit ago, there are laws that we have to obey. In John chapter 8, verse 11, the woman that was caught in adultery, and they bring her to Jesus and has a discussion and actually doesn't say anything for a while. But anyhow, he eventually says, anybody without sin, cast the first stone. And they all kind of walk away. And he gets up and says, where are they? And she says, I don't know. They all walked away. And he says, I don't condemn you either. But go and sin no more. Stop sinning. He didn't say it quite like that, probably. The gentleman that Jesus healed, and he went and found this guy again, and the guy was, you know, thankful, but Jesus said to him, what? I want you to stop sinning so something worse doesn't happen to you. That was in John chapter 5. So the emphasis Jesus has here is you're free, but stop sinning. Stop being enslaved to sin. The freedom that Jesus offers us is freedom from sin and freedom to love. Freedom to love him from the heart. And then that love is what compels us to obey. And this is what he says in John 14:15. You know, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. This is an area where I often struggle. Father, if I loved you more, and I've said this to you before, Father, if I loved you more, I wouldn't do this. You know, I feel like, man, my love for God is so lacking, because if I really loved him, I would seek him first, more often. I would seek him with more of my time. I would put him, you know, in the place. And so, and yet, we are free to love him from the heart. And so we come back to this freedom that even though we are free, we are somewhat a slave. Does anybody feel like a slave today? Romans 6, verse 16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as a slave for obedience, you are slaves of the one you obey? Either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness. Again, in the U.S., we are free. And yet, in another sense, we're not completely free. We're somewhat slaves. Think about it this way. We are free to have a job. We are free to go to work. We are free to earn an income. My income. I am somewhat a slave. They use the taxes for a lot of different reasons, right? They create roads, libraries, schools, police force that keep us safe. Firefighters are on call for our emergencies. So our taxes go to work for us, some. But I am not free to keep all of my own money. I work for myself. So in a very strict sense, we're free and at the same time, slaves. The second half of that verse says we're either slaves to sin, which results in death, or we are slaves to obedience, which results in righteous living. We have freedoms, but we're not completely free. But we're talking spiritual life here. We're talking we're free to love God from the heart. Before we're saved, before we come to Christ, we have no option but to sin. We can do a lot of good things, but we're actually still children of Satan. This is what Jesus said to these same people that we read our verses from today. In John 8, verse 44, he says, "You are of your father, the devil, and you do the things that he wants you to do. You sin because, you understand, before we come to Christ, we don't have an option but to be stuck in our sin." In 2 Peter 2:19, it says that whatever someone is overcome by, that's what they're a slave to. Whatever we're overcome by, that's what we're a slave to. What are we enslaved to? Our jobs? Another person? Our possessions, our finances, a sinful lifestyle. But after we come to Christ, even in all of that, praise God, we have hope. I'm going to read the next two verses in Romans 6. This is Romans 6, 17 and 18. Thanks be to God that even though we were slaves of sin, we have become obedient from the heart to the teaching that we heard and that we committed to. And having been freed from sin, we are slaves to righteousness. We're slaves one way or another. We're slaves to the sin, or we're slaves to God and righteousness. There is absolute spiritual freedom, but not absolute freedom. It's a good thing it's cloudy. We are free from trying to obey the law to try to earn our salvation. We are free from trying to earn God's love. We are free from legalism, and we are free to love God from our heart. The more we see Him, the more we know Him, the more we love Him, look around a minute. Or specifically, if you're married, look at your spouse. If you're sitting here single, look at somebody that's married. Come on now. For those of you who are married, do you consider your marriage slavery? Now, come on. Careful. Do you see yourself as a slave to the other person, though? Maybe once in a while. But isn't how... That's how the world sees it a lot, right? I mean, you've heard the phrase, hey, this is my ball and chain. Right? Maybe you've used that phrase. This is my ball and chain. Auda Nova used to sing a song, Ball and Chain. Well, they may still, actually. But in a very strict sense, you kind of are servants to each other, slaves to each other. But not because of legalism. But because you love each other, right? Because of the heart that you have for each other. You want to please the other person. You want to serve the other person. Sometimes we want the other person to serve us. Obedience from the heart. For God is much like that. Marriage is a picture that we can draw from all the time about what our relationship is supposed to be to God. Well, let's finish in John chapter 8. In verse 32, Jesus says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In verse 36, Jesus says, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Verse 32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's not about knowledge. Jesus isn't talking about truth from a page, although we see truth there. We're not talking about intellectual assent. Truth. You will know truth, and truth will set you free. You know truth as a person, right? Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." To know truth is to know Him. He is our freedom. Knowing him, the more we know him, and the more I'm free from that condemnation that I often feel when I say to myself, I don't love God well enough. And I don't. I do not. I can't love God well enough, for starters. I can never love him enough. But there are a lot of days where I'm like, man, I really didn't love him much today. But we're free. We're free to love him from our hearts. He is our freedom, knowing him, and we're free from that condemnation. One other aspect, real briefly, let's not turn that freedom into license to sin and to do whatever we want. Okay. I don't know if anybody looked up how much humidity is in Ohio today, but I'm guessing it's 87, 95. So let's not use our freedom as a license to do whatever we want. I think so much of the church has come to that point. Not us, not our congregation, but I think the church in general around the globe, so much of the church has come to the point of they see this freedom in Christ as a reason to live any way they want to. That is not what Christ calls us to either. To know the truth, Jesus Christ, I am the truth, sets us free from trying to earn his love. He will never love us more than he does right now. And again, in marriage, I've heard many people say this, that, you know, over the years, you learn and you are more in love now than 20 years ago or whatever. We grow in our relationships as people. But he will never love us more than he does right now. I have to keep telling myself that, so I'm sorry if I have to keep telling you that. The closer we come to him, too, the more we see our own mistakes, failures, imperfections. He's already aware of them. Let that truth set you free today. Put my ears back in. Oh, I'm screaming. Woo! Thank you. Y'all have a nice lunch now.